This is Bird Note. Where many poets write about birds as an exultant viewer, separate from the natural world, Tracy Brimhall writes about birds and nature as familiars and part of our everyday. Here's Tracy reading one of her poems.
Fledgling. I scare away rabbits stripping the strawberries in the garden, ripened ovaries reddening their mouths. You take down the hanging basket and show it to our son. A nest, secret as a heart, throbbing between flowers. Look, but don't touch, you instruct our son, who has already begun to reach for the black globes of a new bird's eyes, wanting to touch the world, to know it. Disappointed, you say, common house finch, as if even banal miracles aren't still pink and blind and heaving with life. When the cat your ex-wife gave you died, I was grateful. I'd never seen a man grieve like that for an animal. I held you like a victory, embarrassed and relieved that this was how you loved, to the bone of you, to the meat. And we want the stricken pleasure of intimacy, so we risk it, we do. Every day we take down the basket and prove it to our son. Just look at its rawness, its tenderness, it's almost flying.
Tracy shows a sense of wonder at this new life.
It's just so helpless and new and freshly alive. And that's just such an intimate encounter with the world for me.
You can hear an extended interview with Tracy Brimhall at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
Looking for work that fits your schedule and can help make a difference in your community? Statistics Canada is hiring approximately 32,000 people across Canada for the 2026 census. Census jobs offer competitive pay, flexible hours, valuable experience, and the chance to help collect data that shape programs and services in your community. Apply today at census.gc.ca/jobs. A message from the Government of Canada.
Damn, we're on the last question. Tell us about the piece of writing you brought.
Let me tell you about that. The piece of writing that I brought, it was kind of like some notes that I took when I was doing an assignment writing my position statement. This one was kind of more of a creative approach that I was like exploring. I ended up changing it a lot when I was producing the academic position statement for my class, you know, but I wanted to share this one specifically just because I was thinking about where it was being, what like the purpose of this, how it's going to go with some soundscape. So I thought that maybe it's a little more poetic, so it's going to be nice with that. It's about my sort of relationship with the land that I'm on and how I choose to perceive it and how I think about it in my daily life, pretty much.
Hell yeah.
Before that, we're just going to do one more music break. I thought I'd choose one to kind of like get us kind of in the mood to what Kalia decided to bring to us today. And I picked this one. Very awesome. Dare I say, leading lady in contemporary indigenous music. And very wonderful and gorgeous songstress, Tia Wood. This is Sage My Soul. Be right back with Kalia.
Calling, walking, but too young to be shameless. Speaking, no healing, just a child gone nameless. Voice gone cold, I'm all choked up. Good day to feel your love, cause I've been calling. Empty out the bottles, cause I'm missing everybody. Used to sage my soul. Good as took your father, miss my mama and my father. That'll take me home.
Boom. Just like that. Finishes it. I love Tia Wood. Her performance last year at the Juno Awards with Snotty Nose Res Kids was truly... I YouTubed MP3'd that on my phone. Most watched video of the year for me. Cried to it with multiple friends while showing it to them. I'm so happy that she exists. And I'm so happy that we've reached this portion of the episode where we finally get to see the long-awaited collaboration that I did with Kalia. Here is the sound art that I made for journal entry by Kalia States. Enjoy.
I cannot imagine a life away from the coast. A life without the crabs, the seals, or the hum of the ocean current. And the funny thing is, I used to hate it. I cringed from the smell of death emanating from the harsh waters. But there's something different about it now. A rooted love. And the idea of leaving it breaks my heart. I was raised to notice things. Stay quiet, to just watch. I watch the people, the animals. I notice the plants, the stream, the sky, and the fact that nothing is without movement. My noticing is a gift, and I cherish it as it gives me the power to admire. And I take comfort in knowing the world continues when my eyes are closed.
I realized that I don't think I've been saying goodbye in my episodes these past few weeks. And yeah, I thought I'd say goodbye. And as many people with knowledge of many Indigenous languages, they know that, at least specifically in Anishinaabe Mo'an, there isn't a word for goodbye, because things don't really end. And I guess I'll leave you with that. Catch you back next week on Minookmi. I am your host, Caitlin Terrell. Have a good day. Thank you.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
While many songbirds are accomplished soloists, some of the bird world's most impressive performances are actually duets. In North America, Breeding pairs of Carolina wrens sing duets to strengthen their bond and defend territory. The male repeats a series of clear notes, accompanied by the female's steady trill. In Ecuador, plain-tailed wrens blend their voices so perfectly that it sounds to our human ears as if just one bird were singing. Wrens aren't the only birds that sing as power couples. In this duet of oriole warblers from Senegal, the female keeps time with a rising series of staccato notes as the male whistles along. In Central America, pairs of male long-tailed manakins team up to woo prospective females with song and dance. Researchers have estimated that the dynamic duo may perform their Toledo song up to 5,000 times in one day. An impressive vocal feat indeed. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, BC, striving to provide points of view that are rarely expressed in mainstream media.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections.
Over the past decade, more than 100,000 people in the U.S. have developed an allergy to red meat, triggered by the bite of a Lone Star tick. Unlike most ticks, which passively wait for an animal to latch onto, Lone Star ticks can identify a potential host and quickly crawl toward them.
I call them like a hunter tick.
Saravanan Tangamani is director of the SUNY Center for Vector-Borne Diseases at Upstate Medical University in New York. He says Lone Star tick saliva and red meat both contain a molecule called alpha-gal. A tick bite can transfer alpha-gal into a person's blood, which can trigger an immune response. After that, whenever that person is exposed to alpha-gal, like when they eat a burger or steak, it can cause an allergic reaction. Symptoms can include hives, vomiting, and in rare cases, life-threatening anaphylaxis. Lone Star ticks thrive in warm areas and were traditionally found in southern states. But as the climate warms, their range is expanding.
We are now seeing more Lone Star ticks in the Northeast United States as well.
For example, cases of alpha-gal syndrome have spiked on Long Island. So the prevalence of the aggressive hunters and the risk of developing a red meat allergy is on the rise. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org. Thank you.
and Margaret Cho. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM at Simon Fraser University.
The wind shares its secrets on a stormy night.